The Bible predicts Israel will again be invaded in the last days, which begs the question, what about her allies? Today on Light on the Hill, we'll learn of some surrounding nations that will object to this invasion.
I have found that peace only comes from you. I have found that joy only comes from you. 'Cause all I need is you.
Israel is the apple of God's eye, and the God of Israel keeps a close watch on his people. We're reminded of that today on Light on the Hill with Pastor James Cadiz. We're going through Ezekiel chapter 38 a bit slower due to its rich contents. As we do, we'll hear about God's supernatural intervention against a coalition of nations who have come against his people Israel. It's an encouraging reminder for us today of God's ability to see and to keep his people. Pastor James starts off today by describing how some of the nations in this region will object to the invasion.
This gets interesting. It says, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? So there are nations that are going to take a stand against this attack that's happening in the north, that's coming from the north. When we look at Sheba and Dedan for sure is who? Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is going to object to this type of thing happening. Now, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, you read that Saudi Arabia would come against a multilateral action involving a series of Islamic nations against Israel, you would say, that's crazy. No way. That's insane. Saudi Arabia would never object. They would never be vocal in their objection to any such thing. Interesting. Let's stop and talk about that for just 1 second. Anybody know the name MBS? Right? Mohammed bin Sulaymin, the crown royal prince of Saudi Arabia? He's been looked at as a bit of a maverick, so to speak. He's a kind of a rebellious one from the rest of the Saudi and royal family. He really is. He says things oftentimes that the royal family does not agree with and oftentimes has to sort of set him straight and take things back. He made a comment about 2 years ago. I hope you guys paid attention to this comment. It was one that made world news and actually one that earned the condemnation of every Arabian or Middle Eastern country that surrounded Saudi Arabia. He made this statement. He said, Israel has the right to defend itself. It's an unheard of statement for an Arab nation to make. He makes that statement and the royal family jumps in and says, we agree. We agree. And at that same time, you might remember the video. You remember the video? Donald Trump comes in, and as Donald Trump comes into the country of Saudi Arabia, the sheikhs and the leaders of the royal family give him the highest honor that any man or world leader could be given. He's kissed in a very specific way. He's greeted in a very specific way that says, we respect you. And when they were asked why they respected the president of the United States so much, they defended the unilateral action of the United States to support Israel. Huh? Well, how in the world is Saudi Arabia going to object? People were arguing this 10 years ago. No way Saudi Arabia is going to object. When I listened to an old Pastor Chuck audio talking about Saudi Arabia and why Saudi Arabia might object, he thought it was related to oil, and he might still be right. Why do you think it's going to be that Saudi Arabia has a stark disagreement with Russia and with Iran and with all of those other nations? Because Russia and Iran, to be able to function and do what they're going to do, have to be able to take hold of some of these countries rich in oil. And the countries rich in oil are going to defend themselves starkly from doing it. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, folks? Listen, God's word is true. The other nation that's mentioned here, by the way, with Sheba and Dedan is Tarshish. the merchants of Tarshish. A lot of people think that this is England, and the lions that are tied to the merchants of Tarshish then would be talking about the United States of America, because the United States as a colony was an original colony of England. Hogwash, okay? I think this is talking about the region slightly north of North Africa. This is probably talking about what we know as today Spain, okay? Makes a lot more sense dealing with it that way, simply because I'm taking it literal. And if we were going to talk about it literally, we'd be talking about the same region that would have existed at that time. And I think we're still talking about Spain. I think we're still talking about that area. We're not necessarily talking, not at all. I don't think there's any credibility to the idea that we're talking about England. I just don't think that England is a player here or is mentioned in the Bible at all when we read that. But it is interesting how these nations now take a stand against it. Now, how does all of this assemble? How does it all work? Well, we're going to talk about it in just a second. Verse 14, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north part. So this is how we know that Israel's going to get attacked from the north. And this is why, and we'll talk about this in a minute, this is why these phrases become very, very critical. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company, a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. And that means they're going to come with great force. There's going to be a lot of them, right? And it shall be in the latter days, again, this is the last days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years, that I would bring thee against them? And shall it come to pass, at that same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come upon in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken, surely in the day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. So let's talk about God's intervention here. Before we talk about God's intervention in this war and in this attack against Israel, let's talk about how this attack can actually be happening and how it would actually formulate itself. So a lot of people, again, continue to protest against this scenario being laid out in Ezekiel 38. They say there's no way this could happen. There's no way you would see these nations come together or anything like that. Let's hit the rewind button for just a second and let's talk about our beloved President Obama. And I'm not saying that sarcastically, of course, although I cannot stand a single thing that that man stood for. He was a very beloved person. Okay? President Obama decides he's going to be a tough guy with Syria. Do you remember that? Remember that situation? He says, United States of America and whole world, I want you to know that ISIS is the JV of the Islamic world. They're nothing to be concerned about. No big deal. He says, the reason why we need to be concerned about Syria is because they're using their disagreement with ISIS to do the evil that they're doing. He doesn't use the term evil. He doesn't like using terms like evil. And he says, so we're going to deal with the problem of Syria. And then he says this. You remember this phrase? We are drawing a red line in the sand. And if you cross against this red line, Syria, we're going to deal with you. So what happens? The leader of that nation says, you're a joke, President Obama. You don't have the political capital to do this. You don't have the guts to do this. You're a globalist, colonialist, and you're a coward. No way in the world you're going to follow through on your words. So what does he do? He starts gassing his own people more and more and more and more. President Obama says, I'm drawing the line. You better stop. And Syria says, forget you. You've drawn the line 10 times. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Ooh. Then we have a little news clip pop up. The media didn't really do much with it. They were very, very careful to kind of hide it from everybody. But you remember the news clip where President or one of the assistants of the President, President Putin, was sitting down with President Obama and the microphone was left on. You remember that? And he turns around and he tells him, hey, do me a favor. You tell Vladimir to just be patient. When I get voted in the second term, then I'll have a little bit more lateral. What was he talking about when he said to have a little bit more lateral? Well, watch it happen. Watch what happens. He gets voted in for his second term in office. President Putin, all of a sudden, says, we have a serious problem with ISIS, and the United States of America doesn't want to get involved with it. So, if it's okay with you, President Obama, I'm going to be the czar that gets rid of ISIS in Syria. President Obama says, hey, no problem. You're going to do something we don't have to do. That's a great idea. Go ahead, Mr. Putin. What does Mr. Putin do? Mr. Putin moves into Syria. He sets up bases in Syria, and he starts killing many of the Syrians that claim to be members of ISIS. Right? They're all opposed to the leader of Syria. And then Iran comes into the picture. Iran says, we're the Shiites. The Sunni is ISIS. They're 98% of Islam. Listen, Putin, if you want to get rid of the problem of the violence of Islam in this region, let us come join you in our forces. We have a common enemy. We're Shiites. We don't like the Sunnis. ISIS is the Sunnis. So what does President Putin do? Putin says, hey, that's a great idea. You know what? Let's start having a summit. Let's meet with you, Iran, because you definitely want to get rid of ISIS. You really want to rid them of the problem in Iraq. The United States has no problem with us getting involved in Iraq because they really don't want to be involved in Iraq. And lots of ISIS is coming from Iraq. And around that time, the leader of Turkey, Mr. Erdogan, says, I want in on that action too. As a matter of fact, there's a land bridge that connects all the way through that I'm interested in, that I need to preserve. And that's going to involve our connection into Iraq and Iran. So why don't we get together and do this? Well, sure enough, Putin says, great idea. And guess what? They have the first of many summits. The first of many summits together as the nations that are listed in Ezekiel 38 to attack from the north. And where do they have their meetings? Where do they have their summits? To the north. They set up their bases all the way from the east to the north of Israel, getting ready to propagate their attacks when it's time to come. Now, some of you might say, well, how are they going to still justify destroying Israel? Well, that's a real easy one. If you want to know how they're going to justify destroying Israel, what they're going to end up doing is they're very likely, I don't know if this is going to happen, this is a likelihood, this is a possibility. They're very likely, and there is a lot of rhetoric going on about this anyway, they're very likely going to say, Israel has a lot of assets that are valuable to us, and if we can get in there, if they're not going to cooperate with us, then we'll go and we'll take that piece of land because that piece of land will give us a militaristic strategic force to be able to render what we need to render to be able to go back and do what we're going to do. Well, some of you might say, okay, James, well, that's a perfect scenario, but I still don't get it with Saudi Arabia. I still don't understand why Saudi Arabia is going to stand in protest. Well, did you ever think about this? Did you ever think about the fact that Iran has made a concerted effort in the past and is continuing to make a concerted effort to be able to make up for the many sanctions that have been placed upon them? If you remember, there was a deal that was made with the United States. It was perhaps the worst deal ever made for the United States and worst deal ever made for the sake of Israel as a state. And we made an agreement with Iran that basically says, oh, you promise us you're going to put away your nuclear weapons, which they didn't, and then we're going to give you tons of money. So President Trump comes in, consider this for a second. President Trump comes in and says, sorry, I'm reneging on this whole thing. And not only am I reneging on this whole thing, I'm going to take away all the money that we've promised to you. Not a single dime of it's going to go there. Oh, and by the way, anybody who wants to continue to get any subsidies from us in the United States, you will back out from investing in any way in Iran. You know what Iran's going to start doing? Iran's going to start getting really, really desperate. And you know what Iran is going to do? They're going to go to the most convenient place that they can to get oil. And you know what the most convenient place to get oil is? Saudi Arabia. And you want to know why Iran is going to get supported by or get supported in chasing after Saudi Arabia by Russia? Because Russia needs oil. So Russia's going to say, well, we're friends anyway, Iran. You might as well go ahead and fight against Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia knows that this might be around the corner, and this is precisely why they're becoming close to Israel, and this is precisely why they're becoming close to the United States of America, because they are thinking about the defense of their own assets. That's what's going to happen. You would think that Ezekiel was alive today. You would think that he was alive today when all of this is happening. Everything the Bible said would happen is very likely happening. Oh, by the way, did you ever consider the fact that the nations north of Morocco, Spain, is actually beginning to take a stand that says, hey, we're all about trade. Leave us out of this. We want nothing to do with this. Very interesting when you think about it. Very unique when you think about what could possibly happen and what's actually beginning to take place. Guys, in case you don't know, everything that's necessary for Ezekiel chapter 38 to happen can actually start happening if need be. Now, I think we'll be raptured by the time we see it happen in full, you know, come into full force. We may not be. I don't think we necessarily have to be. I think we probably will be. There's lots of reasons why I think that's going to be the case. We can get into that when we get into the book of Daniel. And of course, when we get into the book of Revelation, it's interesting when you consider this. If all of the assets of the United States of America are removed from that region, and the only interest that the United States of America has is to be a verbal defender, and in many ways a financial defender of the state of Israel, there's no loss to the United States of America. And by the way, biblically speaking, we're setting up the United States of America to be gone by the time all of this happens. Because what if there's a full-blown revival that takes place? What if there's a full-blown spiritual awakening, and when the rapture comes, the whole United States of America is taken away? It's going to be one or two things. That's going to happen, or it's going to be so dead in its sin that it's going to become inconsequential. Either way, it's going to become inconsequential. It's crazy when you think about that. Really insane when you think about the ideas tied to all of this. So they're coming against all of this. What does God do? God says that he's going to come in and he's going to destroy them. He's going to intervene and he's literally going to stop the battle from happening. He's going to defend Israel, basically. And it's amazing what he says that he's actually going to do. And look, I think about this and I think about the idea of what God is going to, how God is going to handle this. And I just think it's really amazing. So let's go back and read a few verses back so that we can establish some context here. And then we're going to go almost all the way to the end. It says, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, and the many people, so they're going to attack all the way from the north, right, with their horses, the great company, the army, and thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud. So lots of people are going to come. They're going to overwhelm Israel. Thus saith the Lord, art thou he whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets Israel, which prophesied in those days many years, I would bring thee against them? In other words, did I not prophesy these things? You know what's going to happen in Ezekiel 38? Is going to be quoted to these people. Ezekiel 38 is going to say, did I not say that this would happen? You know what I would love? I would love for this battle to be going on and we're gone, we're raptured, and somehow the Calvary Chapel Signal Hill website is still up, or the radio website set that we have are still on, and somebody from over there, a leader or commander, listens to this Bible study. If you're listening to this Bible study right now and you're getting ready to attack Israel, stand by. You're about to get bombed. You're done. You don't have a chance. God is going to send natural disaster to tear you up. That's what's about to happen. And it shall come to pass at that same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord, that my fury shall come upon my face. And of course, we just read this. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and of the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. And thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, how is God going to do this? Who knows? It's going to be some crazy natural disasters. Let me tell you something. You could watch bombs until you're blue in the face. You could watch missiles until you're blue in the face. You can watch trajectories being traveled through until you're blue in the face. By the way, one of the descriptions that's given here that I didn't have time to go over with the opposing armies is that they have arrows. And they talk about these arrows that they're going to be throwing. Well, these arrows can be translated missile in the sense of trajectory, not missile like the C-834 missile in Russia, you know, but missile meaning what we understand to be is a missile, something that has some kind of propulsion that's coming in to destroy. So it's amazing when you think about that even modern day technology might very well be described here in Ezekiel chapter 38. But how is this crazy natural phenomena going to take place? You know, the easiest explanation for this, and I could be wrong, I mean, this is just an assumption. God could literally with his hand pick up a mountain and pick up the mountain and slam it on everybody. I mean, that he could do that just as easy as well. You know, we don't know. But the description that he seems to be describing is the type of description that scientists and geologists have put together when meteors have hit the world. And when meteors come down, they destroy all the vegetation, they destroy the wildlife, they destroy the sea, they destroy everything around it just gets destroyed. All the fish are dead. It's like, you know, if you go and you fish in a little lake and you fish by throwing dynamite in the lake, you throw dynamite in the lake, you go boom, and all the fish come up to the top. That's what a meteor would do to the ocean. You really think about it. So that could be exactly that. I don't know what it is, but I do know that it is going to be a natural phenomenon that everybody is going to know that was the Lord God. He did it with his perfect timing and his ability. And let me tell you something, it is going to be incredible to watch.
Thank you for joining us today for Light on the Hill with Pastor James Cadiz. We'll return to our study in Ezekiel shortly. For a replay, go to lightonthehillradio.com or listen to Pastor James through our Light on the Hill app. It's free and available to download at the App Store or Google Play. Pastor James, you were speaking about some amazing prophecy regarding a coming last days invasion upon Israel and how it's stacking up right before our eyes. This is a real confidence booster in God's word. Speak for a moment, if you could, about how prophecy like this confirms that the Bible is really true.
Jane, look, it's really simple. You know, the Bible gives us very, very clear mechanics as into what is going to happen. It stipulates it right there in front of us. And if we will look at it, take it literally, understand it for what it is, and just be wise enough to be open to connecting the dots, what you're going to find is going to be remarkable. I mean, we are already watching things go in the direction of what we've been talking about in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's been very easy to watch those dots be connected. And it does give us confidence in the Word of God, because the Word of God told us these things, you know, thousands of years before they've happened. And many of us have been talking about it for years and years and years and years and years. I've been talking about it for 28 years as I've been teaching the Bible. And it's not a surprise to watch it beginning to come to pass now, especially as we get near these end days. Now, I believe that this battle that we're going to see, the battle in Ezekiel chapter 38, is most definitely going to be one that we'll see after the rapture, but it's still setting up for that scenario, which is pretty amazing, and it's something that we should be pretty excited about.
Thanks, Pastor James. We would love to hear what God is doing in our listeners' lives, so send us an email today. It would mean so much to Pastor James to hear from you. We want to pray for you as well, as we realize these are difficult times for so many. Our email address is radio@calvarychapelsignalhill.com. That's radio@calvarychapelsignalhill.com. As we continue to share God's word on stations all across the nation, perhaps you'd like to support that work. You can make a secure donation anytime at lightonthehillradio.com or through the Light on the Hill app. There's much more to come in our series in Ezekiel. Set aside a half hour each day as we take in and apply the truths found in God's word. That's right here on Light on the Hill with Pastor James Cadiz.
I have found that peace only comes from you. I have found that joy only comes from you. 'Cause all I need is